You're listening to the UConn Honors Podcast, Agents of Change. My name is Mukund Desipatla. I am a double major in physiology and neurobiology and Spanish. Today, I am here with my co-host, Vinayak.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Vinayak. I'm a junior studying molecular and cell biology with a minor in Spanish.
So today, we have a very special guest, sophomore Akash Binoj, who works in LINX, the Laboratory of Intelligent Networks and Knowledge Perception Systems. He works on the software side of path optimization. So Akash, would you like to introduce yourself and elaborate on your work in your lab?
Yeah, sure. So hey guys, my name's Akash. I'm a sophomore here at UConn, and I double major between mechanical engineering and computer science. One of the cool things I'm a part of here on campus is the LINX lab. We get to do some really cool projects involving path optimization. To like talk about the project, we're basically trying to move, if it's like a vehicle, from point A to point B. We'll have obstacles in the way, so how we optimize a path between that so we can like maximize safety or maximize time.
That's really amazing. So how big is your team, and how does that work? Is there a grad TA supervising all of this?
Yeah, so the entire project is led by a grad TA under the supervision of one of the professors in the electrical engineering department. Our team's roughly like 10 students. We have like 3 undergrads and 7 grad students. And how it works is we're split up between electrical engineers and computer science. So we actually do some testing of the software on physical devices. And so we have electrical engineers that work with the sensors and hooking it all up. And then we also have the software people that help implement software onto the devices.
Yeah, that sounds super collaborative, and how you guys have different like aspects of the project distributed to different types of students. So like the computer science students and the electrical engineering students. I guess before we like kind of delve into the project and like what your future directions are and stuff, how did you kind of get involved with this, and like what kind of really drew you towards this particular lab on campus / project?
Sure. So in high school, I was really involved with robotics. On my town robotics team, I ended up running it my last 2 years, and we competed internationally for it. Mm-hmm. So even when I was like touring campuses, when I came to UConn, one of the things they did for the engineering majors is we got to actually walk through this specific lab, and you'll see like giant like RC helicopters, and there's a bunch of drones just laying around that they use for like other projects there. So it's really cool to see what comes out of that lab, like in the robotics field. And so even after college, I'm looking into going into robotics. So this lab kind of immediately like stuck out to me. So my second semester freshman year, and throughout the summer, I was emailing different lab professors. And so this is one of the opportunities I heard back from. I got interviewed over the summer, and then I started working this semester.
That's really amazing. Congrats. You were able to obtain such an interesting opportunity because, as you said, only 3 undergrads work in this lab.
Right.
I think that's extraordinary to be able to be one of 3 undergrads that have a lot of responsibility, especially dealing with path optimization and having to... You clearly were passionate about robotics, but at least from what you told me earlier, you not only are involved in the software aspect of this lab, but you also jump around a little bit, and you've also seen a little bit of the electrical side. So I just wanted to ask you, how has this challenged you, I guess, or how has this pushed you to not only look at your previous passions from high school and
right.
your major, how has it like opened up how you've like looked at this field?
Yeah, so one of like the biggest obstacles for this was it's in a completely different programming language that I've never used before. So one of the things I spent like my first 3 weeks on was, instead of working on like the physical project, it was just learning how to do whatever I needed for the project itself. And so like that was one of like the big obstacles I had. And so through that entire process, like I got to learn ROS, which is like a robotic operating system. And then also learning more like in-depth C++, which is one of like the common programming languages in like the work field. So those are all like useful skills for later on too. But it's really helped make the project easier and getting more work done for it.
So it seems like you're super interested in this, because I know not everybody would be down to just learn a couple of new programming languages just to like focus on a project like that. I know like you said, there's obstacles that came in the way. I guess like what kind of helped you get over those obstacles?
Sure.
And also like was there someone who served as like a mentor for you? Because I know for me, there's always been a mentor when I've been working in the science field. I guess like either your PI or like the grad student or maybe another undergrad who was able to kind of help you like learn these new languages or help you like give you the drive to learn them for the completion of the project.
Yeah, so my lab PI was very helpful. He gave me a lot of resources. So like those first couple weeks, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos and like doing like basic programming, like examples and problems that I found online. And so through that entire process, like I was able to like slowly build on knowledge that I already knew and then like apply it to this new concept. But yeah.
That's super nice. And how's that experience been so far? Like how far have you gotten into the project? And like if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big project. We're just weekly kind of attacking at it. So right now I'd say we have almost an eighth of it done. But we're looking to finish it up next semester too. Like the hardest part I said was like the first eighth is just really complicated. After that, it's a lot of copying and pasting. So after like these last few obstacles, it'll be a lot more streamlined on finishing the project. But yeah,
it sounds like you've definitely had to tackle this learning curve. I mean, especially getting in over the summer and having to learn an entirely different language and work with all of these peers that are older than you, right? All these grad students. That's definitely tough. And I just wanted you to clarify a little bit about how applicable this project is, because I believe that a lot of the path optimization that you're dealing with is actually very applicable to like tanks in the military and other I guess like resources and companies as well. So I like how has this I guess like helped you look into the more of like a professional environment and see like the applicable uses to the technology.
So yeah, path optimization is giant. For like self-driving cars, it's really important. Even like our Google Maps or like Apple Maps, it has like a very rudimentary version of it. But yeah, one of the applications that we were specifically looking into was for tanks moving from A to B with like a fixed turning radius, how you can go about that, especially when you can't just drive straight, you have to move around. And so yeah, like that's one application. But really, it's a very versatile algorithm once it's done, and it can be used for a wide variety of like company solutions and stuff.
That's super nice. How there's also like a ton of applications for it in the real world, and obviously that's probably like the focus of the lab to try to bring it into the real world. I guess in your lab, how are you able to test like? So you're doing all these computer science work, so you're like software programming and things. How are you able to test this? I know obviously you're not doing this on a tank
or
like a car. I guess there must be a model. So how are you able to like evaluate whether the algorithms that you're writing are actually going to work or just like, you know, testing phases and stuff?
Right. So one of the cool things is we were funded to get these like iRobot. They're pretty much the same size as like Roombas. And so what we do is we strap these Japanese lasers on top that can help navigate around rooms. And then by reading those sensor values, we can move around the room. And so we basically can upload code straight to it and see how it works by putting obstacles in front and seeing if it can actually navigate through getting to like the end location.
Yeah. Wow, that's, I mean, it sounds like a huge team project more than anything, and you really need collaboration to work. And I think at least for you coming from a background in engineering, that's definitely helpful. And I guess you already touched on your hindrances, but how has that benefited you, I guess, or made you your outlook change on your own major, like your involvement in this lab? Is there anything different from like last year?
Okay, so I found this to be a great application of what I've learned. Taking courses doesn't really help you with the real world, because like problem sets and homework assignments, they don't really apply. But actually applying it to like a real world device or something that'll actually be used in like the work field is a really cool way to see what you've learned and if you've actually learned it. I know like some of the concepts I learned through this lab, by learning it, it actually helped me get an internship for like next summer too. So it's really helped me like build myself up too. And it's just a great like learning experience overall.
That's super nice. Congratulations on the internship. I hope you're able to learn a ton more there and then bring it back to the community here at UConn.
Actually, Vinayak, this is not the first time that we've interviewed someone that has been able to apply involvement in any of like the labs at UConn right. or organizations towards their internship. It sounds right. like a lot of these extracurricular, I guess, commitments are so integral to being able to get into the real world right. and obtain these amazing, extraordinary opportunities.
Yeah, right. I think like companies today, when they see that students are actually applying stuff, it's a like immediate like flag and like right. they really like are interested.
Yeah, because they're able to see like there's a product that's going to come exactly. out of this, like it's like a tangible thing.
Right.
And so they can actually gauge like your interest slash like how like involved you are into this field. Right. So you did say like you wanted to get started your kind of freshman year and you started applying like the summer.
Yeah.
So like you were really early on getting into the research and stuff. What would you say is like the next steps for this project and like how are you going to kind of mold it into your own slash how are you going to drive it to continue to like make it a finished project
sure.
product in the end?
So one of the things we're trying to do is most of the code's already done. Just like in like bio labs and stuff, when you have like theoretical and actual values for like your end results, right. we're still trying to get down to a theoretical value. And while we're getting close, we're still trying to figure out ways we can better write the algorithm so that we can get that and cut it down even more. Because the faster it is, even if it's like a couple milliseconds, it makes a big difference, especially on like real world applications. And so the goal is to just keep cutting that down. And get it to a level where we can start pitching it to like companies as like an actual right. solution or an alternative to what's already there.
Mm-hmm. And kind of also going off of that, like I said, you started off super early. Would you have like some advice for some of our listeners on how to get involved in this type of research or like kind of follow their passion just like you did and being so successful in starting early, being part of such a large project with only two other undergrads, and then also landing an internship this summer.
Right. So I know like, the biggest thing people say is like getting an internship or research as a freshman's hard.
Yeah.
The thing is you just got to try. So I think total, maybe I emailed 15, 16 professors.
Wow.
The majority of them don't even email back, but like you never know. So over the summer, I was just randomly looking through and I found this lab, found the professor, emailed and somehow I got a reply back in a couple of days asking for me to come in. And so I definitely say like even if like you don't get replies, just keep going at it because you'll never know if right. it actually works out.
And some of these professors are like super busy and so yeah. or some of them just don't have enough space for other
exactly.
undergrads. So
I think it's definitely something that's very like overlooked, which is that emailing professors, I mean obviously like there's been like a lot of like negativity surrounding like getting like prompt replies. But
right.
the big thing is that they are people like us. They're busy.
Right, right.
And you just really need to get yourself out there. And trying, I think, is one of like the best things that you've advised. So I think like those are very good words to share with our listeners. And yeah. of course, like if anyone needs to reach out, we'll provide your details below.
For sure.
And I just wanted to kind of end with an open-ended question, which we tell all the candidates on here, which is, how has this really impacted you and induced growth as a leader? Because I think your instance is very different than others,
right.
Because we already touched upon how your lab does not have a lot of undergrads.
Right.
So how has this really like helped you grow and, I guess, like facilitate learning to like
sure.
people that are trying to join this year or like in future years?
I think for myself, especially when we're testing stuff, getting to see a product that you got to work on is a really eye-opening experience. And it's a way to see that like, wow, all the stuff that I've been spending years learning is actually working out to something that's really cool,
right.
And really applicable to bigger things. So it's really helped me see like how much I've learned and what I still have to learn. And it's a good way for me to judge like what I have to work on. But yeah, it's just been an eye-opening experience for sure.
Yeah, I think that's really good to hear. And also your internship will especially help you branch out and apply your learning from your classes even more. And
right.
I think it just more than anything, you really, for these extraordinary opportunities, they seem so much more complicated and above us, but they really are not, because
right.
everything that UConn offers, and Vinayak, you would agree with me,
right.
it's for the students.
Exactly.
Everything is for the students to join, and they want students to be able to learn and grow and experiment, because that's like the number one thing.
Yeah, I think for a bunch of the labs, it doesn't matter whether it's engineering or bio or something else, a lot of the lab descriptions sound a lot more difficult than they actually mm-hmm. are. And for a lot of them, you really don't need to know too much about the specific topic. Once you go there, you'll learn, you'll get taught, and you can apply that later on. So,
and it's always kind of like an on-site training also.
Exactly.
Because you have to start somewhere. And like you said, like your project is 1/8 done. So you kind of started somewhere,
right.
and you have such a long way to go. But, you know, it's just one step at a time.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like it's the same as like trying to get started with this research, because if you do not start, it's just, you're just going to continuously say like, oh, I don't know this, I don't know
right.
this, I don't know this. But look at you, like you've started so early, and now you're going to have an amazing internship experience where you're not only going to be able to apply what you've learned, but also learn a couple new techniques to be able to apply to your further projects or your future career.
Yeah, I definitely recommend to anyone listening, like start early, because that's just more time for you to develop right. for later.
I absolutely agree. And I think on that note, those were really great words to end with. And our listeners can, of course, contact you if they want any advice on being able to jump on any pending ideas or applications that they want to get started on.
Sure.
So with that, thank you again, Akash, for coming on and
thank
sharing
you
your story.
Me.
Yeah, of course. And we will be back next week with a new story.